B-Pod Studios.
Miss Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, well.
Or Felger and Maz.
That is an insult.
Listen to the podcasts on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
You know I went a year without touching myself?
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I wish somebody would have marooned them.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Walled it, well, yeah.
5-15-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Bruins working to score big for a special cause, and fans getting the chance to take on some of their favorite players in ping pong. They must be pretty good athletes. We've seen their skills on the ice.
And now the Bees are showing off their moves on the ping pong table. Seven's Tim Caputo is live in Boston with more on this really fun event. Tim.
Yeah, it was a fun event. Wrapped up a little while ago, and I'll tell you guys, some of the kids are actually better than some of the Bruins players at ping pong. Second year they've held this event, just as fun as the first year, and this time they raised even more money than last year, $119,000 raised for Floating Hospital for Children, as well as the Boston Bruins Foundation. This event put on by Patrice Bergeron and 98.5 The Sports Hub allowed players, really most of the Bruins team, here this afternoon to meet with fans, sign some autographs, take some photos with kids, and also, of course, play in ping pong. It's called Pucks and Paddles for that reason. They kind of had an elimination tournament that got all the way down to the end. Very competitive, as you'd imagine, with these professional athletes. And Patrice Bergeron says, obviously, it's about raising money, but it's also for the kids.
Anytime you have a chance to do that and give back to the community, it means a lot. But also when it's about the kids, you know, that it means even more. And obviously, it's a fun event. I think last year was the first year, and everyone had a good time. And you could tell that it made a big difference for the kids. So for us, we're happy to be here.
So the actual championship won by one of the radio personalities, but they had a special match at the end, kind of Canada versus Czech Republic. It was Pasta and Krejci versus Marchie and Bergeron. That one went down to the wire as well. Team Canada ended up winning this. Everyone big winners tonight with all that money raised and a whole lot of fun had by everyone here.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Someone just said, hey, I'm going to screw with Fred's mic and make it that I can't adjust it in any way. We are in the Town Fair Tire Studio, 617-779-0985. A wonderful event last night, the Pucks and Paddles, and the winner of the radio personality that we're talking about was Mark Bertrand, and what happened is...
I think we should wait. I think because there's a lot of stuff that needs to go into us. Maybe 8 o'clock, we kind of get into everything. Because
now, do we have the pasta stuff?
That's going to be for Monday. Those take forever. I got the first half of it done this morning. But no, at 8 o'clock, the Pucks and Paddles event was awesome. And if you haven't been to one, it's... such a step up from Cuts for a Cause. I like Cuts for a Cause, but I mean, this is a ton of fun, and it's great because Fred and I have to say three things all night.
And we can actually... Rich at the end was doing like play-by-play of an event, and I just handed the microphone to Bob Sweeney and said, have at it.
Well, what happened was Judd Surratt was there, of course, the voice of your Bruins, and I thought that, you know, that would be less for me to have to do if he did the play-by-play, and so he was up there. So, I mean, it's really, there's not a ton that Fred and I have to do once we're at the event.
Right.
Other than, of course, you know, play in the tournament and, you know, meet listeners and stuff like that, which is a lot of fun. However, you know, they raised a ton of money. It was great. But something happened last night that was just like my respect level for somebody's troll game just went through the roof.
And the guy who was trolling was explaining to me that he had to tell his fiance, this mic. Had to tell his fiance that this was his hobby because she started to say that you're insane.
The whole thing is just it's one of those deals where this guy is such a good troll that I don't think I ever want to get in his bad side.
Oh, right. He's devious, man.
I mean, went all in, but yeah. I mean, and that was definitely part of the night. But I mean, I heard that afterwards, and because I'm completely lame, I did not get to join them. But I found out that a Bird and Nick and several other people from the station, they went hard last night. They went out to a couple of different bars. Was texting with Bird last night saying that I might meet you guys out. And he's like, hey, you want to meet me out? I went, no, I'm kind of home and I'm tired now. It's funny. Like once I actually set my foot in my house, yep. It's just like something inside me goes, nope. But if I was still out and about, I might have still been able to do it. But I guess that they, what time did you get back? Or what time did you leave the bar last night, Bird? Like maybe like 10? Like 9 o'clock? Okay, well, that's good. Because, I mean, all right. So you spent like 2 hours out drinking with a bunch of people from the station as well. So it seems like you guys had a good time. A lot of the listeners hanging out there, a lot of them very, very passionate about the show. A lot of them not afraid to say the F-bomb 48 times in front of Hank, which is awesome.
That guy was something.
He was. And like, yeah. Hank was just laughing at him at one point. Yep. Like, yeah, all right, well, you know. It's not like you're not going to hear this word.
I escaped right before that.
It's not like you're not going to hear this word like a million times in your life. So, you know, here he is just saying it a lot. So, you know, if you'll recognize it when you hear it in everything from here on out. But it was good, and Fred and I had a good time, and I think that the Bruins seemed to have a good time. Patrice Bergeron was obviously in a great mood. Everything went as smoothly as it's ever gone in the past. So, yeah, great event, good time. And the only problem is that there's only a little bit of coverage because there happened to be other things going on in sports news yesterday. Usually when Pucks and Paddles happens, it's like there's nothing going on. So they'll spend like 5 minutes talking about it on local news. You know, unfortunately, there were several important things that were going on, like Tom Brady getting shaved and Anthony Davis not being traded. So those were the big stories. But nonetheless, that's not why we do it, of course.
No, we don't do it for the promotion. We do it for the good of the children. And we also do it so I can have a microphone where I'm like Lemmy from Motorhead and have to look up at it.
What happened?
I don't know.
So
someone put a rubber chicken on top of it, which is in front of you now.
Okay.
I don't know who put it there.
That's weird. I don't know.
But, Nick, good luck. I can't make heads or tails of how to make this thing better.
But $119,000 raised with Pucks and Paddles for the Tufts Floating Hospital for Children. That's awesome. I think that might be the most that we've raised. I don't know. I believe it is. Every year it always seems like it goes up and up and up. So this year was no different. So thank you for everyone who donated. It was a lot of fun. It's a great event. You got to go next year if you didn't get to go this year.
Absolutely. And we can on Monday we're going to have a little contest involving one of the players.
Mm-hmm. Which I heard that John Wallach was the Don. Yeah,
John Wallach was the guy who put it all together.
Mm-hmm.
Right place, right time. Just happened to be Pasternak, happened to be there.
Making things happen.
Yes.
Well, this is going to bother me all show.
So did somebody raise the stand or what? Like, I mean, this part of it right here, did somebody like adjust it or raise it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, that would bug the hell out of me all morning long.
Well, I'm going to get neck problems.
Yeah, you should do it like Lemmy from Motorhead. Just hang it over your head and everything should sound like a question.
Hey. So what about Rondo last night?
Yeah, it was pretty wild. We'll get into that. Also, today at 9 o'clock, we'll have Danny Ainge on. We moved his interview from yesterday, that's usually on Thursdays, to today because we wanted to be able to ask him questions about what did or did not happen at the trade deadline. But things are looking interesting now.
Yeah, Milwaukee got a lot better. So we'll see what happens.
Everyone in the East piled up, which is, I mean, all the basic people you have to worry about if you're a fan of the Celtics. I mean, everyone around you got better, but that doesn't mean that that's all bad news for the Boston Celtics.
And one trade by Philadelphia is just, and Felger and Mez went over this yesterday when it happened, but it bears mentioning here. Markelle Fultz traded from Philadelphia to Orlando for a bench player, a lousy first-round pick, and a second-round pick. Think back through all the trades that Danny Ainge has made since he's been here.
I don't think that that was too bad of a haul for him, seeing how broken he is.
That's the point. Yeah, that's the point.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. Because I heard people say,
think about all the crap that Ainge took trading out of the number one spot for Tatum. How could you pass on Markelle Fultz? He's the guy. He was, and sure enough, he went overall number one, and he was supposed to be the part of the core four. It was going to be Simmons, Fultz, and Embiid to lead this team into the future. And they traded Markelle Fultz for a lousy first-round draft pick, a second-round draft pick, and a bench player.
And I still think Orlando got swindled.
Yeah, and they did.
Like, that's a,
of all the
sixes.
Trades that Ainge has made, he robbed the 76ers blind. Unbelievable trade by Danny.
Yeah, I mean,
although if they ended up if the Celtics would have made that trade, he would have come here and Brad Stevens would have turned him into Allen Iverson.
Sure, but no. He didn't. You're right. But ultimately, Markelle Fultz is broken, and you got almost nothing for him.
Great. It sucks. I really do hate it when players have. Essentially, what is the yips? And it seems to be all mental.
You never
want to
see a guy who's talented go through something like that.
And you never want to see someone get the yips because it's frightening.
Yeah, it is.
Because
what could happen to me in my life? Right.
I just saw a story of a guy that was a first-round pick in baseball. And I hope my son's not up, but he was a first-round pick in baseball that could throw like 97. And then he was drafted. I can't remember who he was drafted by. The Cubs. And he completely... have inability to throw strikes anymore. So now he's 38 and he can throw like 97 again. And he just tried out for scouts, but he spent 8 years in the minors trying to get it together. And they tried everything and he couldn't do it.
Two words, Daniel Bard.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
He throws 99, and just one day he completely lost it in Toronto.
Was that Wohlers who had that too?
Wohlers had that also. Rick Ankiel.
Sure.
I mean, you see it, and it happens out of nowhere for no reason.
And you have to wonder if just getting out of Philly might be some sort of road to the solution. Just being surrounded by people who weren't around there.
I don't care as much.
Well, also,
honestly.
Also go to a place where the You weren't the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, the pressure's now officially off Markelle Fultz. Nobody expects anything out of this guy.
Correct.
Whereas, when you're number one pick, I mean, it's all in your head. And I could see how that could be something like, I got to live up to this thing. You know, they traded up for me. I better be a killer from day one. And so you're right. Now that he's with Orlando, it would be one hell of a story if someone was able to sit down and talk to him and figure everything out. And all of a sudden, he becomes at least a somewhat decent player.
That could happen. I could see that happening. All right, Rich, we'll be back. We'll talk about the Celtics, talk about the trade deadline, and all of those things.
Games are only half of it.
Maz, you loser!
Toucher and Rich.
When you're that short, it's more than okay to be a dick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak's the worst.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Oh, LeBron James comes to town, but it wasn't him who took down the Celtics. Nope, it was their own flesh and blood.
Rondo into Ingram. Ingram will walk it up into the front court. 8 seconds to go. Ingram to his right, behind the Chandler screen, starts his drive, past Horford, reverses it up. Blocked by Horford. Loose ball, pinballed around. Rondo for the game, he got it! The ball bounces to Rajon Rondo, who hits from the left elbow, and the Los Angeles Lakers have scored a stunning buzzer-beating win in Boston.
Rajon freaking Rondo sinks a ridiculous last-second shot that never should have happened, and he sends the Celtics home with an L, 129-128, the final score. It was classic national TV Rondo, delivering big plays when the channel switches from NBC Sports Boston to TNT or ESPN.
He was knocking down threes last night. I know he's better now, but he was confident in taking them.
Yeah. Well, however, this was the first time he ever hit a buzzer beater to win it. Did you know that? The very first time.
Yes.
I did not know that.
It was a play that the Celtics had every chance of preventing, starting with a great block shot by Al Horford, and you thought that was it. It's over. They got it. Brandon Ingram goes up to the rim with 3 seconds left. Then the ball goes through Horford's hands, out of Marcus Morris's hands, and bounces off Jason Tatum's hands, and finally into Rondo's, who pops it up at the very last millisecond. And if you haven't had your proper dose of cheese this morning, here is LA's call of the Rondo final shot.
Lakers still have 11 seconds, no timeout. They get the ball to Ingram.
10 seconds to go in the game. Ingram dribbles into the front court. Ingram still dribbling. Ingram to the rim, all the way to the basket. Blocked by Horford. Ball's loose. Grabbed by Rondo for the win. He got it! Rajon Rondo at the buzzer. A follow-away two-pointer. Lakers 129. Celtics 128. It's over on a game winner by Rajon Rondo. How do you like them apples? Yeah, you know.
Oh, jeez. All right. By the way, there was something that there's a conspiracy.
Is that because it's Boston?
Because it's Boston,
yeah,
yes.
That's
and
what
it's
it is.
A reference
yes,
to one
indeed.
Of the worst lines of any movie ever. If somebody quotes that line from Good Will Hunting and thinks it's cool, just you can't be friends with them.
I just like the town is now identified by one line from a movie.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I thought was wildly overrated, that movie.
But I agree.
Line of all of the lines. Hey, do you like apples? Why, yes, I indeed like apples. Well, I got a girl's phone number. How you like them apples? That's a conversation that doesn't happen in real life.
No.
That does not happen. That only happens in I'm a Ben Affleck and I've been hanging out with Kevin Smith too long and writing a script life. That's what it is. But there is a conspiracy theory that's been going around. And to be quite honest, when I was watching the game, I thought it happened too, is right when Brandon Ingram goes up for the shot and it gets blocked by Al Horford, it sounds like a whistle is blown. And you can go back and listen to it on the TV broadcast, but they continue to play and do their thing. But I didn't hear it on the radio broadcast. It just sounds like it might have been some dude in the crowd or whatever. But even when as I was watching, I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess Ingram got fouled, which still wouldn't have been the greatest thing in the world. But, I mean, it truly was a game where the Celtics were dominant in the first half, only to blow an 18-point lead in the second. All of this blowing what was one of the best games of the season from the Celtics bench. That would be this one right here.
Rozier up the right side, turns Caldwell Pope around. Tice up fakes, drives right past McGee, gets to the cup. Avidaze as Tice throws down hard with the right hand.
Wiener Schnitzer as he goes in. Hammer time. Oh, I got your Audubon right here.
What? It's because
those are German references, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Wiener Schnitzel.
I've got your Autobahn right here.
He's German, you see.
Yeah, but he didn't say Wiener Schnitzel. He said Wiener Schnitzel.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to see.
You're German, Fred. You should know all about this stuff.
That's right. I'm my people.
They are your people. Well, Daniel Tice, he went off for 20 points with Aaron Bay's sidelines. He was able to show off on a big stage, and he was excellent yesterday. Not excellent, however, was the Celtics' perimeter defense. Uncharacteristically, not only did they allow a ton of threes from the Lakers, but a franchise record of 22.
All right, hold on.
There was a point during the third quarter where you're just sitting there going, make it stop.
No, the Lakers were unconscious in the third quarter. I think they were 9 of 11 from three in the third quarter.
Yes.
Some of those were contested. I mean, it was one of those things where shooting is contagious. Yes, they were open threes, but the Lakers made everything.
Everything.
I mean, and it wasn't entirely the Celtics' fault. I mean, look, there was, first of all, the Lakers were unconscious in the third quarter, and that pinball shot that Rondo hit, that wasn't the only lucky break the Lakers got in the final minute.
There was that save LeBron
tried to save the ball inbounds, tried to bounce it off someone. He wound up spiking it into the floor. It bounces all the way back out to the top of the key where Kentavious Caldwell-Pope happened to be standing. He found LeBron in the corner for three, and he made it. As the shot clock was just about to expire.
I just thought...
Just blind luck.
I thought Brad Stevens said it best after the game. He was like, you know what? The basketball gods favored the right team. And if you just... I mean, because there were times where, I mean, Kyrie wasn't very good last night. I mean, there were...
Having said all of that, the Celtics still should have won the game.
They should have won that game.
They should have won the game, and the Lakers got lucky in the final minute.
I am glad it was Rondo, though. Like, of all people, I am glad it was Rondo, especially on a day where Kevin Garnett was sitting on the sidelines wearing a Celtics Rondo jersey, which I thought was pretty great. Here is Rondo after the game, after hitting the buzzer beater to win it.
When you walk into this building, where does your mind go first? I asked you where your mind was last, but where does it go first?
Home. Where it all started, you know. Danny believed in me from day one, and my career probably wouldn't be the same if I went anywhere else.
Am I the only one who noticed that reporter's hand had an X on it as if she'd been at the club earlier?
No, she's straight edge.
Oh. she's holding the microphone. She's got a big X written on her hand. And I'm like, somebody obviously went out.
No, she's got the straight edge.
Okay.
You know, if you put the X on your hand, she's a big Fugazi fan.
Apparently she is. But she never pays more than $10 for a show.
That's right.
But listen, no matter how big the star power, how huge the game, it's always good to know that no matter what, Cedric Maxwell on your radio dial is always locked into the action.
Why are you calling me right now?
Somebody just call you during the game?
Huh? Robocall.
No way.
Yeah.
Why do you answer unidentified calls?
Might be who wants to be a millionaire. Could be calling me.
Somebody's lifeline.
I don't
hey,
answer.
Guess what? If you're their lifeline, it's not going to end well anyway.
Could be. No, I give them some good answers. Especially if we're talking about, like, things that kill each other.
Lakers win the jump ball. Here's LeBron.
Yes, that is.
He's an assassin.
Cedric Maxwell answering his phone during the game. Could you imagine if...
What did he say? If it's people killing each other?
Yes, he would be the lifeline if people kill each other. That in itself has so many unanswered questions. I have no idea what any of that means.
Could you imagine if on NBC Sports Boston, Tommy Heinsohn answered his jitterbug during the gameplay?
Why isn't this thing working? I'm dropping quarters into it. I can't hear no operator.
Operator, give me Apple Tree 5000.
Maybe I should crank it again. What the hell is Cedric Maxwell doing?
I don't know.
Answering
phone. Tommy Heinsohn just picks up a can with a string attached.
Hello.
Hello. What's going on in the fort?
Well, despite the loss, the Celtics have won 10 of the last 12, and it's family reunion week as they face Doc Rivers and his Clippers tomorrow night at 8 p.m. You can obviously hear it right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub if Cedric Maxwell decides to not talk on the phone during the broadcast. But yesterday's game wasn't the biggest news for the Boston Celtics. Oh, no. That would be the Pelicans deciding not to trade Anthony Davis before yesterday's trade deadline to the Lakers, or anyone else for that matter, making Boston's bid to trade for the big man this summer a near certainty. So in the end, New Orleans thought what Boston was offering was what they wanted, so they basically told everyone to go screw, and Danny Ainge obviously seems like he doesn't want to show his hand too much. I saw him talking a little bit last night. He's going to be on the show this morning at 9 a.m., and we will get his opinion of everything that went down. And a decision that is not tempting fate at all. The New Orleans Pelicans have decided they're going to allow Anthony Davis back into the lineup for the rest of the season. That's right. Now, the NBA head office might have had something to do with it because they knew it would be a massive PR hit to have a perfectly healthy superstar sitting on the bench while ticket holders watch a team full of guys not named Anthony Davis take the floor every night.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I believe that that was part of the case. And I know Anthony Davis said that he wanted to play as well. I'm sure that's what he said.
He has an injury, has a finger injury he's working his way back from, but by all accounts, he's just about ready to go.
Yeah.
So they should play him.
However, the Boston Celtics did make one move, trading Jabari Bird to the Atlanta Hawks, who will immediately waive him. Good. Glad he's no longer Boston's problem because, as you remember, he was arrested in September after a domestic incident where he allegedly choked his girlfriend more than a dozen times and repeatedly threatened to kill her, so good riddance, and that also opens up a spot for a player down the road. Meanwhile, the East, everything around the Celtics, they stockpiled up yesterday. Marc Gasol, he went to Toronto for next to nothing. Nikola Mirotic, he ended up in Milwaukee for, am I reading this right, 4 first-round picks?
No.
Are you sure?
Nikola Mirotic did not go for 4 first-round picks.
I read that somewhere, and I need that double-checked.
No.
What team? He went to Milwaukee.
Milwaukee didn't send 4 first-round picks for Mirotic.
All right, well, it didn't happen. Okay.
Hang on a second.
Because I read that somewhere, and I might be wrong.
But they gave up relatively little to add another quality.
Three-player deal. Hang on a second. I had it here. Three-player deal. Jason Smith, Stanley Johnson, 4 second-round picks.
Oh, 4 second-round picks.
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, that's still a lot.
Four second-round picks is nothing.
Literally nothing.
Mike Gorman's been on this thing. It's like bacon bits on top of a salad.
Didn't you say players, too? Aren't there, players involved as well?
Stanley Johnson, who just got traded to New Orleans. Jason Smith, Stanley Johnson, and 4 second-round picks.
Okay, and the Sixers, they obviously spent a ton for Tobias Harris. But as we were saying, the funniest trade of the day is Markel Fultz. Which is, okay, so I want to think about, this is a guy that Danny Ainge turned into Jason Tatum in a pick, and then he was traded for, as you said, a bench guy, a protected 2020 first-round pick, and a 2019 second-round pick.
Yeah, Jonathan Simmons is averaging 7 points a game.
Yeah.
That's the player they got back from Orlando in addition to the draft picks. He averages about 20 minutes a game, shoots 36% from the floor. Jonathan Simmons is a throw-in bench player. They traded him for the first-round pick. The low first-round pick, because that's the best they could have possibly done. And Orlando's like, well, we have to match salary, so here's Jonathan Simmons.
And by the way, they're saying that the Clippers giving up players makes the chances of the Kings making the playoffs all the more likely.
Yeah, no, yeah, we were talking about that. Yeah, the Clippers decided to head into the lottery. They cleared a house to get an extra max slot. They're gonna try and sign Kawhi Leonard. Remember, the Clippers are one of the teams Kawhi Leonard wanted to sign with during this coming offseason. So the Clippers just made themselves attractive to do that. And, you know, the Kings got two very good forwards on draft day, on trade deadline day. Sacramento is going for it. I mean, that pick's not going to be good. That pick's going to be in the 20s.
Yeah.
During the summer. And by the way, the Celtics did well by opening up a roster spot. I mean, right now with Baines hurt, you know, God bless Daniel Tice. He had a big game last night, but they could use another big man. And there's a guy sitting out there from the Knicks, Enes Kanter, who averaged a double-double this year while playing 25, 30 minutes a game. Very active. Can't shoot worth a lick from the outside, but certainly a guy you want to have. And I think the Celtics should be able to sign him. I think that'd be a great addition for this team.
You can't shoot a lick. What are you going to do? All right, Rich, what else is coming up?
Well, Tom Brady got a shave yesterday at the Gillette headquarters and actually said some kind of interesting stuff. And then on top of that, there's other news going on with the Patriots we'll get to as well. And LeVar Ball, back in the news.
Yes. He's been away for a year.
Before the trade deadline, felt like a cat in a corner. Just like, he's like, I'm going to talk and I'm going to go nuts and I'm going to piss off LeBron James. It was great. It's like, I haven't heard from him in a while.
It's like Groundhog's Day. He just stuck his head out of it for a year and said, what do you want out of me?
I was like, welcome back if we've missed you.
All right. We'll have all that for you.
Toucher and Rich. Can mornings get any better?
Yeah. Could you please help me?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Whatever you want.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Mike Ravon. All right, Rich. Tom Brady got a head shave there.
He got his beard shaved. Would you want to shave those wonderful locks? I don't think so.
Now, did Tom Brady, with his massive amount of facial hair, finally succumb to the razor?
Well, so he went to the Gillette headquarters, and this happens a lot. You know, when I know the Red Sox won the World Series, David Ortiz and a couple of the guys with their playoff beards, they got him shaved. And, you know, obviously with the tie-in from the Patriots and Gillette, it's a kind of an all-promotional thing. It's all for charity, yeah. And although the one thing he said when he was sitting in the chair getting shaved is that he said he has never been professionally shaved before. To that I say, there is no way you live with Gisele Bündchen and you've never been professionally shaved.
Yeah, and I would imagine there is actually someone on staff that lives in the house or lives in like a pool, like by the pool.
Right.
That comes in and shaves you on a daily basis.
Right. Bring out Sergio. He's going to come out and take care of you. He's your personal shaver and personal designer. Yes, Jeff.
What was your theory about Brady? It was like a Jetsons theory where he wakes up and like there's a conveyor belt.
If you are old enough to remember the Jetsons, what would happen is that George Jetson would get up and he would get on what's essentially a treadmill that would take, or like a moving sidewalk.
A conveyor belt.
Yeah, that would take him, and then they would put clothes on him and it would shave him and it would do his hair. Yes, so I imagine that's Brady. He just gets up and it's like, doo-doo-doo.
And it's all picked out by Gisele in advance.
Right.
And her designer. But so he was doing his thing and doing a question and answer. And one of the questions he was asked, well, first of all, they said, is there something that you haven't done in months that you can't wait to, you know, to do again? And he goes, margaritas.
Yikes.
It is like a tropical paradise. But then he was asked
Reitz
about the White House, and here was his answer.
Hey, Tom, do you have plans on going to the White House for a celebration?
Next question.
I don't know why it was
a bad
question.
Yeah, you're going to go to the White House. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't.
No.
A lot of people do.
Or just say, hey, you know what? I haven't really thought about it yet. Next question.
I'm trying to enjoy this. Trying to get a shave here.
Oh, yeah. Well, Tom Brady got a nice little shave. Although, once again, I didn't know he really needed one, but it was a cool meet and greet thing that he did for charity. So props to him. Now, one person who can't wait to get back in the spotlight is LeVar Ball. So yesterday, LeVar Ball was on, and I'm not saying this to try to, like, write the show off, but I constantly forget the name of the Shannon Sharp, Skip Bayless, Undisputed, the okay. show on FS1. It's the show that those two guys are on, Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp. And LeVar Ball was on. Now, you have to remember, this interview was done before the trade deadline when the whole world happened to know that Lonzo Ball and everybody else who wasn't named LeBron James was on the chopping block, and they would have done anything they could do to get Anthony Davis. So here is LeVar Ball, the dad who's been a good company player over the last several months. He hasn't said a word. Somebody told him to shut up. But when he felt cornered, it was time to talk.
I told the Lakers a long time ago, if you trade my son, it'd be the worst thing you ever did. And I guarantee they trade my son, they will never get a championship. Because what they're trying to do is be the one-hitter quitter, trying to get all these players. It ain't the players, it's the coach. Man, you don't have the coach, you out of luck. So you can get as many players as you want. If you don't have a system or you don't understand what you're getting ready to do, you're not going to win. I don't care. You can get everybody that's good.
Okay, so first of all, he's crapping on Luke Walton.
Yeah. Well, his dream, obviously, is to coach the Lakers.
Oh, without a doubt. Of course. To coach his son? Yes. Of course. So already you're crapping on the coach, which, by the way, isn't really that dangerous because we've heard that LeBron James wants
Luke
Walton.
Yeah, and what are they going to do? Yeah. I mean, what are they really going to do about it?
Well, other than the fact that Magic Johnson, I believe, talked to LeVar Ball about crapping on Luke Walton because he's done that in the past.
Yeah, but like, they can't move him right now.
I mean, you could at the end of the season.
Oh, sure. I don't know if I'd want him, but yes, you could do that.
So you're saying LeBron James without Lonzo cannot win a championship in Los Angeles?
LeBron James without Lonzo is not going to win a championship in L.A. I guarantee that.
And Lonzo is not the best player on that team now.
Are you crazy?
Are you saying Lonzo better than LeBron?
Yes.
Well, I see.
Can you imagine that's your dad?
Shut up, Dad.
Like, just stop talking.
I have to deal with these people. Shut up.
But you know he has, like, Stockholm Syndrome, and he's just like,
Okay, this is the one rare exception where I think that when somebody's parent says something, there isn't truth to what their son actually thinks or daughter. Because I think the Anthony Davis situation, I believe that that's a conversation that they've really had, is, man, I don't like those Celtics. Look what they did to Isaiah Thomas. That sucks. Tom Brady's dad, when he has spoken, he has said stuff that I believe is truly what Tom Brady has felt. In this case, I honestly think Lonzo Ball just wants LeVar Ball to keep his mouth shut. And he probably hasn't said any of these things, even in private, to him.
You lost me on that.
Hey, I'll lose you again. I'll lose you again. You can't go there. LeBron getting older. I mean, I'll make Zoe better than LeBron if I'm coaching, because I'm going to let him loose.
You called it. You absolutely called it. There you go.
Give me the team. I have very big experience in middle school. My sons, give me the team. I'll let Lonzo loose. I couldn't teach him to shoot, but I'll let him loose.
I'll make Zoe better than LeBron if I'm coaching, because I'm going to let him loose.
Lonzo is better than LeBron. You know that's not true. You know that.
Why?
What you mean, why?
Why? Why? Why? Because LeBron been in the league for 15 years? I mean, how do you judge LeBron being better than my son? I ain't going to say nobody better than my son.
It's okay if it's the truth.
But if my son can play, which I know what I put into
him, Sandy can't
as far
play.
As shooting and passing and playing and running, LeBron hurt. He getting old. He getting old.
LeVar.
He getting old.
LeVar.
I tell you this, he can't go Alonzo on that fast break.
LeVar.
Can't move that fast.
You guy shooting 23% from the free throw line.
You can shoot 10%.
40% from the free throw line. How can he be better than the GOAT?
You talking about percentage of shooting on free throws? Okay. Don't tell me about no free throws.
Okay, what about
he been in the league for a long time. What was LeBron shooting from the free throw line?
Like 66.
I can tell you what. He been in the league a long time not be able to make no free throws.
He shot 40%.
He ain't got to shoot 40%.
He ain't never shot 20% from the three-point line.
He ain't got to shoot 20%.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, these are all new things. Is Lonzo Ball really shooting 40% from the free throw line?
Yeah, he's been horrible. I'll double-check. That's what you want out of a point guard, is a guy that can't shoot free throws.
40%?
No, there was a time, if you remember last season, right around the All-Star break, Jason Tatum was shooting better from three than Lonzo was from the line.
Okay, all right.
He's been awful.
Who's notoriously the worst free throw shooter?
Dwight Howard. DeAndre Jordan
I would say DeAndre Jordan. What DeAndre Jordan's worst? He was, like, in the high 30s, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If Lonzo Ball is shooting 40%, And DeAndre Jordan, at least, got a little bit of an excuse. He's a big guy.
Yeah, he's got, like, those big hands.
Lonzo's shooting 42%.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is...
Which is slightly better than what he's shooting from the field.
Okay.
41% from the field.
So here goes LeVar Ball just walking in there and saying, you know what, son? I'm going to make it as difficult as possible for you to be an L.A. Laker. I'm going to not only crap on your coach, which, once again, I said isn't really too risky because LeBron wants him gone anyway, but then I'm going to crap on LeBron James and saying that he's old and he's busted and that he couldn't like beat Lonzo in the breakaway.
And by the way, if you know, LeBron James isn't competitive or anything, he really takes those things to stride. He's the kind of guy who's just going to laugh it off.
Sure.
Trade that kid to Charlotte. Trade him to Toronto. Trade him as far away from L.A. as possible.
Just right. Basketball Siberia.
Trade him to London. Trade him somewhere. Fenerbahce right. In Turkey. Send him over there.
Oh, man.
Lithuania.
Yeah. Well, of course, where all the stars play. All right. So there was something really strange yesterday. By the way, we were all sold a bill of goods, and it ended up being a complete and total lie. So when this whole all-star game draft was going to happen, we were told that, it was going to be live. They're going to do a live draft. And I'm immediately thinking, like, the NHL all-star draft that they did several years ago.
Yeah, Kessel's just sitting there being fat.
Right, just sitting there being fat and being picked last, where everyone is sitting in a room, and just like in the schoolyard, you pick one, and then you get to see who's last. No. They did the draft last night, and it was just LeBron's head on a monitor, and it was Giannis Antetokounmpo's head on another monitor, and they just picked names. They picked names. So there was no, like, embarrassment of going last.
You need to do it during All-Star Weekend. You can't do it now. No. Wait,
so they picked names
like
out of a hat?
Or they just said, my first pick is going to be Kevin Durant. And they're like, all right, Kevin Durant, how about you, Giannis? And that was it. Like, none of the players were there. However, there were a couple of fairly funny moments. And it was done with the NBA on TNT crew. So you had Charles Barkley, Ernie Johnson, and all those guys. So here's LeBron making one of his picks. Oh, it's actually, let's see.
With my first pick in the second round, I'm going with Anthony Davis.
You sure you want him to be your teammate?
I'm very sure of that.
Isn't that tempering?
No. Shots fired, and you're up.
Tempering rules does not imply on All-Star Weekend.
and at one point, Charles Barkley goes, how about LeBron just trade everyone on your bench right now for Anthony Davis? He said, just trade everyone you've picked in your all-star bench, and you can have Anthony Davis.
By the way, Giannis decided he wanted all of his friends and first-year players to play with him in the all-star game. Did you see the starting lineup that LeBron was able to put together?
Well, it's like Harden, Durant, Irving, and
Kawhi Leonard.
And Kawhi Leonard.
In addition to LeBron.
Oh, well,
that's the starting five, and off his bench is Anthony Davis and Karl Anthony Towns.
No, the thing you can read into LeBron James's first six picks is that Kevin Durant has a player option next year. Kyrie Irving, a player option.
Right.
Kawhi Leonard at third, a player option.
Yeah.
James Harden's the one guy who's under contract. Anthony Davis, who requested a trade, and Klay Thompson is a free agent. So it's basically all the players that he wants to play with him in Los Angeles, he picked.
I understand, but you're right. But getting to the All-Star game, the score is going to be like 190 to 3.
Oh, please.
I mean, come on. What are you talking about? That's not going to be that high. Everyone plays defense.
You could get a good college kid out there and he would dominate.
Everyone plays defense at the All-Star game.
All right, so we will be right back.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Told me.
Great balls of fire. Guess you just crawled out the mountain mire. That can make you trust a liar. A real sucker diver. Vaughn never been a duck and diver. He spit on the mic, yuck saliva.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And is Bert Breer coming in? Is he running late?
I just texted him, and he's probably driving in, so he hasn't replied yet. But.
Okay.
But he asked me if he could come in, so yes, I'm assuming. I wrote back and said, we'd love to have you, and he said, okay, see you then.
All right. All right, Rich, what's going on?
All right, this needs to be discussed real quick. So yesterday, the CEO of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, he basically dropped a bombshell accusing the National Enquirer of accused them of trying to blackmail him with nude selfies. So there was this big blog post that was put up on a website called Medium by Jeff Bezos, And he said that the Inquirer threatened to publish a nude photo of him and other lewd images that they'd obtained if he did not stop investigating the Inquirer's recent exposure on his affair and publicly declare that its reporting on it had not been publicly motivated. So what happened was, you know, Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post. And so this story comes out. And he had been separated from his wife for a while, but it wasn't common knowledge. And he was dating this this other woman, Lauren Sanchez,
who seems to have had no work done on her face.
Apparently, that is probably not true. Just by looking at it. However, he was like, "I want to find out how they got all of these texts and things like that, these private things." And he thought that it was politically motivated. Because I guess the guy who runs the Inquirer, his name is David Pecker. He is good friends with Donald Trump, and Donald Trump doesn't like Jeff Bezos, and he thought there was some sort of political thing. But
if your name's David Pecker, it can't be an easy childhood.
So what happened was this: they write him a letter saying you need to do X, 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 and X, Jeff Bezos, or we are going to release all of these things. Amongst the things that they said that they had was a selfie of Bezos at what appears to be a business meeting. A shirtless Bezos holding his phone in his left hand while wearing his wedding ring. He's wearing either tight black cargo pants or shorts and a at attention man hood that is being shown.
He's aroused.
Yes. A full length body selfie of Bezos wearing just a pair of tight black boxer briefs or trunks with a phone in his left hand. A full length scantily clad body shot of him with short trunks. A naked selfie in a bathroom. He's wearing nothing but a white towel, and the top of his nether regions can be seen. Also, his girlfriend at the time in some scantily clad stuff.
Yikes.
And so he said, okay, I'm going to expose the National Enquirer for blackmailing me. And he posted all of the letters out there and said, listen, I'd rather be embarrassed by these photos than have these people continuing to do this against, you know, like the general public and celebrities. And he said, if somebody in my position can't fight these guys, then who can? And all that really does is just led to one of the best New York Post headlines of the millennium. And that is, Fred, would you like to read it?
But is it Bezos?
Bezos.
Bezos exposes Pecker.
That's right. That would be David Pecker, the head of the National Enquirer.
Come on, that's
Amazon
top
chief National Enquirer boss.
That's really good.
Tried to blackmail with nude pics. Bezos exposes Pecker.
All right, Fred, I understand the Osama bin Laden can't be touched.
No, I mean,
okay,
please.
Bad choice of words,
sure.
But yes.
That's up there.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's probably like a top tenner.
No, I say higher.
Bezos exposes Pecker.
That's pretty good.
I mean, that's almost too easy. When you just know the guy's name is David Pecker, you're like, all right, where do we go from here?
The headline guy, who's probably the highest paid guy at the Post, heard Pecker. He was just like, let's see.
This shall be my finest moment.
It was like a beautiful mind. He just went to a dry erase board and just started writing.
But the fact that they had nude selfies of him makes it even better. Everything's just perfect. And the world's aligned for that headline.
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, as soon as they heard Pecker, they're like, get in here. Give us everything you got.
The New York Post coming through again.
All right. We have with us Bert Breer. He will be here for an hour, and you can talk to him 617-779-0985. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.